Let's turn to Lansing. Protesters once again took to the streets today at Michigan's Capitol to protest the stay-at-home orders that have slowed the spread of COVID-19. Today's protest had a particular focus, asking Republican leaders to end Governor Whitmer's coronavirus emergency declaration. 2 weeks ago, a similar protest packed the streets, drawing a wide variety of Michiganders, from frustrated workers to Trump supporters to alt-right groups and white supremacists. Abigail Sensky is a politics reporter with public radio station WKAR, and she's on site at the Capitol. Abigail, how are you?
I'm good, April. How are you?
Okay. How many people showed up today?
So I would say conservatively, there are at least 300 people here, so more than were actually out on the Capitol grounds during the Operation Gridlock protest a couple weeks ago. Of course, that protest had thousands of people who stayed in their cars, but there are at least more people out on the Capitol lawn at this protest.
Can you hazard a guess at the number of people who were in their cars but chose not to go stand up next to the building today?
You know, there are cars that have been steadily streaming in a loop around the Capitol, but I would say it's at least 50 cars, if not more.
Does this protest feel very similar to the one that happened on April 15th?
It feels a little different, honestly. There are a lot more people out on the Capitol lawn. There are kind of the same groups of people. There's lots of Trump flags. There are several militias here providing what organizers call additional security, in addition to the state police presence. There are lots of don't tread on me flags, recall Whitmer, and then there have been some signs that compare Governor Whitmer to Hitler. So I would say some of the more kind of fringe elements that were at the Operation Gridlock protest have also come out again for this one. But I would say the absence that's notable here is the trucks of businesses and the workers that were first to shut down. There were a lot of those at the last protest that aren't at this protest. It's much less about types of industry and regional-based exemptions and more wholesale opposition to stay-at-home orders and the COVID-19 response that has been going on in the state. And I would also say that it's not just unilaterally against Governor Whitmer. I've seen signs saying that Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky and House Speaker Lee Chatfield are also to blame for this. And some protesters that I talked to said, they just want lawmakers to move forward and start working together.
Abigail, you sound a little muffled. I'm guessing you're talking to us through your mask.
I am, yes.
How many other people there are using personal protective equipment?
I would say it's at least a third of the people out here on the lawn, which is more than at the last protest. A lot more people are wearing masks at this one, but I have talked to several folks who have elected not to wear masks, even if they are high risk.
You've talked to a range of folks down there today. What kinds of things did they have to say?
I would say the main through line is people who are out protesting here today believe that this is unconstitutional. They don't believe that the stay-at-home order is okay. They believe that it's an infringement of their rights and the governor can't ask them to stay at home. Several of them have also mentioned that they don't believe the governor has the ability to designate who's an essential worker and who's not an essential worker. And it's been a spectrum of people who believe, some of them have said the initial stay-at-home order was necessary, and some of them go as far to say, no, we didn't need to take action.
Have you seen anyone from state government come out to greet the protesters or just come out and comment on the proceedings at all?
I have not personally seen representatives or senators come out here, but Mike Detmer, a candidate running against Alyssa Slotkin in the 8th Congressional District, was out here and he did speak to the crowd today.
I remember the last time protesters were down at the Capitol, some office workers were waving American flags out their windows in support. Are you seeing any of that today?
No, I have not seen any flags that have been flown from Speaker Chatfield's office today.
You mentioned the police presence. Have you noticed any flashpoints between the protesters and the officers?
I have not noticed any clashes, but it's definitely a much heavier police presence than the last protest. I think, quite frankly, the city of Lansing was unprepared for how many people came out to the last protest. And so there's been, at some points, helicopters flying overhead, and at least one helicopter, and there's a much bigger presence of Michigan State Police, as well as police that are helping the city of Lansing as well.
Reporter Abigail Sansky of public radio station WKAR in Lansing. Abby, take care. Thanks for reporting in.
Of course.
The timing of today's protest is anything but accidental. Inside the Capitol building, Michigan's lawmakers have a decision to make. Chad Livengood is a senior editor at Cranes, and he joins us now. Chad, good to talk to you.
Thanks for having me back, April.
Can you remind us what's happening today that is significant in the timing of the shutdown protest?
Yeah, so today is the end of the 23-day extension that the legislature granted the governor back on April 7th for extending her emergency powers for managing the coronavirus pandemic. There is a big conflict, though, between the governor and the legislature. The governor has asked for a 28-day extension all the way to May 28th. Lawmakers only want to give her a week at a time, basically. But another issue here is sort of a very legal issue, is that regardless of what the legislature does today, the governor can extend the order with a different law. She has been using a 1976 emergency management law, and there's a law from 1945 from the end of the World War II that grants her almost all the same powers. So if the legislature decides to give her a one-week extension, the governor can just use this other law to extend the state of emergency by another 2 or 3 or 4 weeks or longer.
Chad, it feels like the air between the Republican legislative leadership and Governor Whitmer has grown very tense just over the past 24 hours. Can you lay out what happened that ratcheted up the tension?
Yeah, I mean, these relationships, especially between Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey and Governor Whitmer, have already been very strained for months, dating back to the budget standoff last fall. But yesterday, there was an incident where the governor's office essentially lobbed a grenade, figuratively, by releasing to reporters internal emails between the governor's staff and the legislative staff that was essentially their, you know, back and forth negotiation over this extending this emergency order. And that ended up being classified by Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirkey as what he called a double middle finger. Then the governor held kind of a more partisan tinged press conference. She had the president of the AFL-CIO on stage, and he was taking shots at the legislature. And that just kind of seems to have really escalated the mistrust on both sides between the governor's office and the legislature. And that doesn't spell well for long-term, you know, management of the state during this crisis right now, particularly because the state government faces anywhere between $2.5 to $3.5 billion shortfall this current fiscal year. That means they got to cut at least $2.5 billion out of the state budget between now and the end of September, plus more billions to cut in the next fiscal year. So these sides, they're going to have to find some unity in order to manage the state through this economic and financial crisis that we face that has come about because of the public health crisis.
We should mention there's a whole other separate track developing. A court of claims judge has in the past day rejected a motion to suspend Governor Whitmer's stay-at-home order in a case that was brought by, I believe, 5 private citizens. Does that settle the matter in any way?
Well, it definitely gets one court involved. There's a federal lawsuit involving 5 businesses that have sued challenging the governor's stay-home orders. That's been filed in the Western District of Michigan. So far, the governor has been winning the court battles here, but there is this ongoing problem with the legislature wanting some type of role in this crisis. Never mind the fact that we still have 1,000 cases a day rolling in the last couple of days of new cases of coronavirus. And so this political battle seems to be kind of losing track of both the economic problems, the real threat of a depression, and also the ongoing crisis that's still inflicting lots of places across the state, particularly in West Michigan, where we've seen a lot of growth in the number of coronavirus cases.
Anything can happen, but if I'm reading these filings right, the 1945 Emergency Powers Act, which is, I guess, the governor's, you know, last line of defense toward bolstering her emergency powers, doesn't seem to be subject to a court challenge at this time. Less than a minute left here, Chad. Is that your reading of this as well?
That's right. And the only really major difference between these two laws is the 1976 law affords legal immunity and liability protections for frontline workers, doctors, nurses, other medical professionals. And that will be lost if the legislature does not grant an extension of emergency powers under that 1976 law.
Chad Livengood covers public policy and Detroit as a senior editor at Crain's Detroit. Chad, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.